Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Listen, guys, in the chat room, you know, you need to stop this. This is Sunday. This is God's day, okay? I did not, nor will I ever, okay, interfere with Kent's business. I do not care about Kent. He can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. You understand? Okay? I do not mess with Kent. Now stop it. If you ain't got nothing better to do, leave my chat room. Thank you. Pastor Kent talks about sex all the time, okay? That's all he talks about, okay? I'm not into talking about sex, okay? I'm being penetrated, okay? Now, this is God's day. Let's stop it, okay? Okay, and forget about it, okay? I'm going to play some music. Just give me a second, I'll get there. Yeah, I got some dead air. Tired of messing with you people, okay?
Oh!
enjoy the praise and worship part of the service. Amen. Let's get into the message. The message is titled The Gospel of the Tabernacle. And it's a series called Living the Tabernacle Life. And it's from Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 10. See, if I told you there was something in the Bible that God spent 50 chapters describing and detailing, would you think it was important to him? Of course you would. Then let me ask you this. Is it important to God? Should it be important to you? Of course it should. Somebody said, Pastor Ken, what's so important to God that he spent 50 chapters of his word describing and detailing it for us and makes it so important to us? Let me see if I can answer the where, the what, and the way. Let's begin with the where. Where are these 50 chapters anyway? There are 13 chapters that are in Exodus. There are 18 chapters that are in Leviticus. There are 13 chapters that are in Numbers. There are 2 chapters that are in Deuteronomy. And there's 4 chapters that are in Hebrew. If my math is correct, that adds up to 50 chapters. That's where. But what you really want to know is the what. What was so important to God that should be important to us that covers 50 chapters in his word? Well, the what is the tabernacle, the portable worship center of the children of Israel that went with them those 40 years in the wilderness as they made their way to the promised land from Egypt and then set up and used in Shiloh for another 369 years after they entered the promised land until the temple was built in Jerusalem. Now you say, all right, Pastor Ken, that's the where and the what. But why was the tabernacle so important to God that he spent 50 chapters describing and detailing it, and why is it important to us? Here's the why the tabernacle was important to us. It shows how simple a person can go to heaven if we all had from God was a tabernacle. If there was no New Testament, no John 3:16, no Romans 8:28, and no Revelation 3:10, we would have all we need to know and go to heaven. No wonder God spent 50 chapters describing and detailing the tabernacle to Moses. For the next several weeks, we are going to be learning how to live the tabernacle life. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 10:10? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they have it more abundantly. The tabernacle life is the abundant life that Jesus talked about. Somebody says, so what's the abundant life? I think of it as the best life on earth. It's living life with peace and protection and provision and power and purpose and praise. It only comes through Jesus. If you want to know more about the abundant life that Jesus provides, then take a look at the tabernacle. The tabernacle life is a photograph of the abundant life. What the tabernacle life pictures Jesus provides, now take God's word and turn with me to Exodus 25 as we think together about the gospel of the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 to 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering, and this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing of oil, and the sweet incense, onyx stones, the stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. Did you know you can find the gospel in the tabernacle? Well, you can. In fact, there is an Old Testament gospel and a New Testament gospel, just as there is an Old Testament covenant and a New Testament covenant, with one difference. When it comes to the Old and New covenants, one was tied to the law while the other was tied to grace. Two covenants. But when it comes to the Old Testament gospel and the New Testament gospel, there is only one gospel, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So when we talk about the gospel of the tabernacle, we're talking about the good news of the tabernacle. And what the good news is that it shows the way by which a sinful person may approach and have fellowship with the Holy God. That sounds like gospel talk to me. So what makes the tabernacle such good news? Where is the gospel found in the tabernacle? Here's what God wants us to know through the tabernacle. He desires us to be with us. That's the good news. Exodus 25, verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. What is a sanctuary? I learned as a child growing up in church what a sanctuary was. How many times did I hear my parents and other adults say, don't run in the sanctuary. Don't be loud in the sanctuary. Sit still in the sanctuary. Now, I've just got to tell you that as a child, I wasn't fond of the sanctuary. Nothing fun happened in the sanctuary. No running, no yelling, sitting still. It was a good day in my life when we started calling it the worship center, even better than the multiple purpose building. What other word do you know that sounds similar to the word sanctuary? How about sanctify? Or what about the word sanctification? What does sanctify or sanctification speak of? Well, they speak of something that's been set aside. In fact, that's what the word holy means, to be set aside. So when we walk and talk about being sanctified or sanctification or even holy, we're talking about the process of being set aside from the world and being set apart unto God. So when God told Moses in Exodus 25:8 to make me a sanctuary, he was referring to the tabernacle, for he goes on to say in verse 9, according to all that I show you, that it is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all furnishings, just so you shall make it. The tabernacle was to be a sacred place, a place set aside. Set aside for what? For God to dwell among them. He says it again in Exodus chapter 30, verse 6b, where I will meet with you. That's the gospel of the tabernacle. That's the good news of the tabernacle. God desires to be with us. Holy God desires dwelling with people like us. By the way, the word dwell can also be translated tabernacle. God says, make me a sanctuary that I may be a tabernacle among them. Let me show you something. Look at the New Testament, John chapter 1, verse 14, where he once again read the words of Jesus. He's going to use a familiar word in verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you see it? It's the word dwelt, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. This word that Jesus uses is describing himself. Dwelt speaks of covering a tent, a dwelling, a tabernacle. You could translate John 1:14, and the word becomes flesh in the tabernacle among us. God's tabernacle is among us through is Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 tells us that it pleased the Father that in him all of the fullness should dwell. And then in chapter 2, verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we're going to find this in the study, that every bit of the tabernacle was filled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's called a sanctuary or a tabernacle or a tent of meeting or a tabernacle of testimony, at the end of the day, we can know that God desires to be with us. That's what this book is all about. It's about God who wants to dwell with us, who wants to direct and delight us, and that's the gospel of the tabernacle. Now, as good as that is, what would you say if I told you that there's something even better? You say, Pastor Ken, how can anything be better than God desiring to be with us? Well, God desiring to be with us is good news, all right, gospel news, but let me give you even better news. Through the tabernacle, God not only wants us to know that he desires to be with us, he has designed a way to be with us. Desiring to be with us is good news, but even better good news, okay, is he designed a way to make it happen. So how did God design a way to be with us? Well, over the next several weeks, we're going to explore specifically some of the details. But in general sense, we can see his design a couple ways. His specific instructions. Exodus 25:9. According to all that I show you, there is a pattern of the tabernacle and a pattern of all its furnishing, just so you shall make it. So what is the pattern? When I was a boy, I remember my mother taking me to her Hancock's favorite store where they sold patterns of fabric and buttons and thread for dresses, shirts, pants, etc. Then after selecting the pattern, she would select the fabric she wanted to use to make the dress. So after we returned home, she would lay the fabric on the table and lay the pattern on top of the fabric using pins to hold it in place. Then she would carefully take her scissors and begin cutting out around the edges of the pattern, and she would repeat this process until all the patterns of fabric were used. Then she would be ready to begin sewing the pieces of fabric together to form the dress. It was the pattern that guided her in design. Without the pattern, she wouldn't know where to start or where to stop. The pattern gives her the specific instructions needed to make a dress. Frankly, without the pattern, there would be no dress. Well, with those patterns were in the hands of my mother, God's word was in the heart of Moses and the children of Israel. No wonder we come across the expression according to the pattern. Again and again, and the expression is the Lord had commanded. Every curtain, every color, every piece of furniture found in the tabernacle was a shadow that pointed to the real thing. And as God laid out the patterns, the blueprints, he expected them to be constructed exactly according to the pattern with no leftover parts. Nobody had to ask. So what are we supposed to do? How are we to do this? What do we do with these leftover parts? I'm not a handyman. It seems I always have leftover parts, screws, bolts, and nuts whenever I try to put something together. There was a time that I explained that by saying that the manufacturer supplied extra parts if needed. But then I realized that wasn't the case, but rather it was instruction manuals. Who could understand those instruction manuals? How confusing are they? I can imagine a group of people sitting around a table writing an instruction manual, and one of them says to the coworker, "Look how I explained this step. You think it will confuse them?" So the coworker takes the instructions his friend just wrote, and with a smirk and a wink, says, "They'll never understand that." So you can know that Moses understood every square inch of the pattern God gave him. God expected him to make sure that his specific instructions were carried out with no extra parts remaining. And after they were through and they were going to see God's expectation was perfect, obedience without obedience, they would never have seen the glory of the Lord filling the tabernacle, as we read in Exodus chapter 40, verse 33b to 35. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Obedience still fills tabernacles with the glory of the Lord. God's design to be with us not only includes his specific instructions, but also through the symbolic implications. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatever things were written before we were written and are learning, that through the patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope." John chapter 5, verse 46, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." In Luke 24, verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded and explained to them all in scriptures the things concerning himself." Does that include the tabernacle? Absolutely. Listen to the writer of Hebrews tells us about the symbolic obligation of the tabernacle starting in Hebrews 8. It's here we read about the high priest and the tabernacle and their symbolic implications. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, "Who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, 'See what you will make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.'" And then in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 23 to 24, "Therefore it was necessary that the copies, little examples, models, signs of the things in heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies, representation of the true, but in heaven itself now appeared to the presence of God for us." In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, "For the law having a shadow of a good thing to come and not the very image of the things." In other words, the tabernacle is full of symbolic implications for our lives. In the tabernacle, we see shadows and patterns and figures of heavenly spiritual things that are revealed in Christ. For example, just as the tabernacle in the wilderness was actually a visible dwelling place of God, so in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we're going to discover over the next few weeks every detail of the tabernacle, from the smallest pin to the largest pieces of furniture revealed to us various aspects of person's work in Christ. That's the gospel of the tabernacle. And through the tabernacle, God not only wants to know that, He desires to be with us, and He's designed a way to be with us. He declared He wants to be with us. So how did God declare He wanted to be with them? And perhaps more importantly, how does God declare He wants to be with us? Well, after Moses finished the work, we read in Exodus chapter 40, verse 35-38, that then a cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in their own journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and the fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. They moved when He moved, and not a moment before. When it was time to continue their journey through the wilderness, the cloud above the tabernacle was taken up. When it was time to stop in their journey, the cloud was not taken up. They traveled with God like we travel with our smartphones. Before I leave this house, I make sure my smartphone is on me and fully charged. I have been known to leave the house and then go and realize I left it at home and turn around and go back and get it. I wouldn't think about leaving home without my smartphone. You talk about being vulnerable, but my smartphone on me, I know. If I have a problem, I can call for help. If I have a question, I can call for the answer. If I have an emergency, I can call 911. Now, as good as having a smartphone with you is, let me tell you something even better. It's having the presence of God with you. I'd take His presence over my phone any day. They would think about traveling through the wilderness without presence, the protection and the power of God, and all they had to do to know that God was with them was to gaze up at His glory cloud. When it moved, they moved. When it stayed, they stayed. That cloud over Israel hovered like a giant protective canopy that protected them from their enemies. In Psalms chapter 105, verse 39, He spread a cloud for a covering, a fire to give light in the night. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day and the shining of a flame fire by night. For all the glory there will be covering. So throughout the wilderness journey, the cloud was always with them. We read in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19, yet in your manifold mercies you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them day by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way they should go. So think of it. With all the murmuring and unfaithfulness and rebellion and unbelief, God never withdrew His cloud. The same is true for us today. God remains with us through our ups and downs, through our faithfulness and unfaithfulness, through our obedience and disobedience, through the presence of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 16, and I will pray for the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. So in the Old Testament, God declared He wanted to be with His children through a cloud. In the New Testament, God declared He wanted to be with His children through a cross. Galatians chapter 6, 14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. The gospel message of the tabernacle can be summed up in twofold proposition: God's appearance to man in grace, our approach to God in faith, and that a friend is the gospel of the tabernacle. Amen. That's our sermon for today. And now, I'm going to ask a question. How many of you out there do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And you want to get to know Him? Okay? Maybe you're traveling down this long, dusty road and you don't know where to go or which way to go, okay, which way is up or down, okay, or maybe you lack purpose in your life and you need some, or maybe you suffer from anxiety or depression, or maybe you suffer from something much worse, that's just an addiction to alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating, whatever the problem may be, the Lord can take it away, but in order to do so, he's got to know you. If he doesn't know you, he can't do nothing for you. So with that, I'm asking you, do you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. And I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins, and I'm now willing to turn from my sin. You said in your holy word, Romans 10:9, that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And once again, I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name so we can pray for you. And you can do that by calling in at area code 657-383-1487 and push the 1 key. When you push the 1 key, you will come on live. And you can tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Once again, that number is there. It goes 657-383-1487. And if you said this prayer, we want to welcome you into the family of the Lord. And we want to say, may the Lord bless you and may he keep you highly favored. Amen. Okay. Mr. Sparkles, I've already stated that I have nothing to do with destroying Pastor Kent's show. I really do not care about his show. I do not listen to his show, okay? Okay, because it's garbage, okay? All right, now we got that, okay? Address. Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna play some more music.
Maybe the lessons that I'll see, I'll take.
a person was lying to you. You got a problem of following through. That's why I got a problem of following you. You keep looking at me like this problem is new, but we've been here before. What you trying to do? Don't talk to me like I don't know what you're feeling, cause I was there with you back in the beginning. Quit looking away when I talk, let me finish. I'm trying to be honest, you're trying to forgive me. What's wrong with you, eh? I know that you got a lot on your plate. You're telling me I should get out of your way, but I can't see how you gon' lie to my face. Don't tell me you're blind, I know you're not, so don't even try. We gon' live in this life full of pain, and we're hating, and one day we'll get up and say we regretted our lives. That's where we're going. Do not pretend like you don't even notice. The funny thing is that you already know it. Starting to think that you like how it feels to be lost in a moment.
I got a caller. It's 814. It's our brother Doug. Hey, Doug, how you doing?
Hi, Ken.
How you been?
Okay. You doing?
That's good to hear.
Yeah, you sound pretty good tonight. You must be feeling a little better.
Yeah, I am.
Good, I'm glad to hear that. I just figured I'd call in to say hi, that's all.
All right. Okay,
not going to go on. Okay, I'm not going on no cuss-filled rants.
Okay. Well, you know,
go ahead.
It's like the people in the chat room. Okay, they believe whatever they hear. Okay, they think I'm trying to destroy Pastor Kent's show. I could care less about Pastor Kent's show. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. They're just trying to start more crap. That's all.
Yep.
Hey, just keep doing what you do and don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. I am.
No, I'm glad.
Well, thank you, Doug. I appreciate your call. Okay?
All right. Yep.
All right. God bless.
You bless you, too.
All righty. Let's go with the prophetic word of the day. The Father says today, come to my table. Come to the table prepared for you at Calvary's bounty. On the Christ, the price was paid that you might have life and more abundantly. When you partake of my abundance, okay, you are connecting with my greater purposes. I sent my Son into the earth to draw you out of the waters of adversity and bring you to the fellowship of my table and the bounty waiting there for all of you to enjoy. I haven't just given you things, I've given you all things richly to enjoy. Reject then, says the Father, the empty husk of valueless promises that the world makes to you. In the world, all things in dust and ashes. In my kingdom, all things end in my glory forever and ever. That is what the angels are ministering to you this very day. You are tasting of good things of my spirit and the powers of the age to come. You are drinking of my fountain and partaking of my substance. This is the plenitude by which I fill you this day. This is the purpose for which I came, to seek and save and bring you to myself in harmony, fellowship, and sufficiency. Amen. Well, this goes out to all that need it, and you know who you are. Amen. Well, oh well, this ends the day's portion, okay, of the service. I hope you all enjoyed it. God bless you all. Keep coming back. Okay, we will not be here tomorrow. Okay, we will come back Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time for Purpose Gospel Radio. Until then, goodbye.